Hey, Nerd Funnelers, we're back. This is Bob Shway, and you're listening to Nerd Funnel, where we take all the nerd news of the world and funnel into your more than willing ear holes. With me today is Fuki.
Hi, everyone.
And today we are talking RPG battle systems, our faves, our not-so-faves, our the hits and misses, all throughout gaming history. We love RPGs, Fuki and I, and we... Yeah. Have a long history with it, so we're just gonna go out and start and say, okay, we're gonna pick our top favorites, and then we'll go into ones we don't like. Right away, I gotta say, Chrono Trigger's got a special place in my heart.
Yeah.
For I feel like battle systems that foment. They don't make it alcoholic. Well, they should. They should. Every drunk battle should be drunk battles. No, they foment a sense of teamwork or camaraderie between the characters where they're not isolated with their moves. So they have awesome movesets, you know, individually, and they have awesome movesets together. And I think that's one of the crucial hallmarkers of a good battle system is when you can combine things.
I agree.
So I like the triple, double text, and triple text and things like that from Chrono Trigger. Now, besides it being one of the best RPGs of all time, it just it really worked. It took the menu system to a new level, being able to select. Because, I mean, the menu system, I mean, let's be honest, it's pretty boring. I mean, it's you know, Final Fantasy I, I mean, that's like the bare bones menu system ever. But if you can take something and doing something new with it, it's pretty awesome. It's so I'm gonna have to go with... Chrono Trigger, the triple text where you pair up and they're so modular. So modularity is a key, like the options that you can have with a good battle system. Like, you know, combining different skill sets, you know, fighting and magic with different elements. So I definitely, I'm going to put that out there. What do you think?
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Chrono Trigger was one of the best games I ever played.
Oh, yeah,
in
totally.
My entire life. It was... The battle system was really unique. Mm-hmm. I do like the double and triple techniques that you could do with everyone.
Yep.
Unfortunately, like the triple techniques, you can only do it with the main character.
Not necessarily.
I know, not necessarily, but you know, because you get them with the main character. But yes, you could get stoned.
You
could do it with other people, but there weren't enough of that
I thought that it was the added layer, like because you reach that point in the game. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, I can only deal with Chrono.
Yeah.
And then you find these rocks. It's like, no. And then it leaves you wondering. It's like, well, how many rocks can I find? And
that's true.
So I thought it was an added bonus layer of modularity that was just amazing.
Yeah, and
you just don't think there were enough rocks.
I know. Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, they could have done a little bit more rocks, because I think you only could find, I think, 5 or 6 of the rocks in Chrono Trigger to do that. So they only had like those
black rock, white rock,
blue rock.
Blue rock. Blue rock was the one with Marley and Luca and Magus, right?
I think
it was like Omega Flare.
Yeah.
Oh no, that was one with Robo.
Is it
Omega Flare?
I think it's a Robo. Yeah, Robo one.
And then Black Rock was Dark Matter.
White
Rock was Poyozo Dance. That was awesome.
I think that black one was with Marley, Luca, and Magus.
Yeah.
That was
a Mega Flare. Yeah, that was a Dark Matter.
I thought it was pretty cool what they...
Yeah, I think, and then I thought Poyozo Dance was awesome. The ladies doing their thing, the dancing.
Yes, that was funny. That was cool.
Oh, and Grand Dream. There was the Gold Rock.
Oh, yes.
Don't forget Grand Dream.
You got that.
The Grand Dream of the Masa and Moon.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I did like that. And the fighting was... It was unbelievable. I can't believe it was like...
It never got boring.
It didn't.
It never got boring. Because that's when you really... Like, if the... One of the things that I think the hallmark of a bad RPG gaming system is that, like, if you check out during battles,
it's
and yes, I'm gonna go on record right now saying that for me that game was Final Fantasy 13, because I was definitely checking out on that one. I was watching let's plays of other games while leveling up. And it's just
yeah,
you just, the when you have to start just mashing X and you're just not paying attention. Like,
I agree.
Cool. And like, for the Chrono Trigger, like, kept you engaged for sure.
That's true. So the one that I like the best, uh-huh, from all the games that we have listed here,
yeah,
is Tales. Tales of Eternia, which was Tales of Destiny. With Eternia here in Japan, I don't know if they call it Tales of Destiny 2, but it was for PlayStation.
Yeah, that we played that together.
Yes, we played it together, and that was a whole lot of fun because we could play it together.
Yeah,
I could control one person, you could control another person, and then we just go all battle. And usually Bobby's the fighter. He'll be the fighter, like, and I'll be the magic user, so I'll just cast magic. And that game was fun because anything could go wrong at any second when you play that game.
Yep, anything can go wrong. It was doing fighting moves, simple fighting moves, but fighting moves, so it kept you engaged with the battle. Great animation, great, amazing sprite work.
Oh my god!
You didn't get lost. There was no slowdown or lag in the game either. It was an amazing, amazing, amazing game. And of course, they built on that when they went to 3D for like Tales of Symphonia.
Yes.
I like Symphonia's Bastum.
I do too.
I like the games where, like, when you cast things, you can you can target the AoE and then like layer it over somebody to build up on a move. So like, say you've got someone doing an attack and then you layer a cast and you move the AoE over them and put it on them and it fuses them into something together that you have to do.
Yes, I could see that. And Symphonia was a great game.
Yeah.
The only problem I had with Symphonia is the every time you're in battle, you're always going to be in a line with the enemy. And when you try to run away from the enemy, it just won't let you run away.
They because won't let you,
That's what I hate about that. I'm like, no, I don't want to go there. No, back. We're dying. No. Well, it just keeps me back. And I'm like, no, I don't want to go in that line.
They just back into the wall and nail you in the, from behind, right?
It does. Yes.
And not in a good way.
Not a good way.
No. One of the things, you know what, interesting, so, you know, they had Tales of Abyss, and then they've been kind of keeping the same, like, all the Tales games are kind of, they're subtle variations, but...
So, yeah, that's
but
true.
But mostly the same stuff. What was interesting was, what was the one that was on the ship? You got it for me for my birthday.
Oh, Tales of
Legendia.
Legendia.
Yeah,
that was an interesting one.
Legendia went back to the 2D with the...
Yeah.
The 2.5D like artwork, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I was a very interesting choice. That game was a lot of fun. It was strange. It was like
it was
like a one off in the Tales series. I felt like it didn't feel like an entire Tales game to me.
No, I could see why. It was
kind of limited. It was a two parter. It was like Senil and his sister's story, and for like half the game, and then it ended. And then you got a new beginning where you could go off and do all the other characters' stories individually.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And it all took place on this continent that was also a ship. And you would go a little bit into the battleship, but the world outside of there remained a very big mystery.
It was
very odd. Music was odd, too, but really good.
Mm-hmm. I think it went well with the game.
It was a very... It felt like kind of a one-off. I always thought it was really strange. But... on the whole, I agree. The Tales, my favorite incarnation of the battle systems of Tales, I think I think Abyss took what Symphonia did and kind of streamlined it.
Yes, yeah, I agree. I was thinking the same thing because Abyss, they actually fixed that part where you could free run. Now you could run around.
Yeah, the free running. You were limited by the auto targeting.
Yes.
That was a huge problem.
That was a big problem. But they fixed that. And then I liked how they did, you could do different skills based on the timing of what spells you use at the same time. So you're like, okay, I'm going to cast a spell on you, and then you do like a special attack with that. And I thought that was pretty cool because they implement that. So you have to work together to try to do something.
Also, the way they use the summons in Abyss is way better.
I think so.
Symphonia was a little odd. It was like Sheena. And like, it was like in only special conditions. It was really weird. I didn't really get to use them as much, it feels like.
That's true.
But I think Abyss did a better job of that.
I think so, too.
Like Vesperia and Zillia, they kind of same.
Well, I heard Vesperia was pretty good. You mean for the one for the Xbox that came out here?
Yeah.
I heard that was pretty good. I heard Vesperia was really nice, but I haven't played it. I only played a little bit of it in like the beginning, but that's pretty much it.
Did you play Graces? Tales of Graces?
Yes, yes. F, right? For the PlayStation F. 3. Yeah. I played that one.
What did you think of that one?
I liked it. It was very interesting to play because I played it with my husband. Mm. And that was, it was fun. It was... for me, this is my bias, but I like the world map. I like how you can use the world map to walk around because it encourages...
No world map in Graces?
Yeah, Graces had no
That was
world
my
map.
One problem with like Final Fantasy X, too.
That was like, can't explore. You can't go out and explore.
Yeah, it was a little bit disappointing, that one. So,
but I liked it. It was interesting. And there's another thing. They don't have... Like, you know how other Tales games has TP where you use it and then it'll waste it out?
Yeah.
In Graces, they do not have that. They have, like, a CP system where it could grow back up, but you have to wait a while before it grows to use, like, moves and move around.
Okay.
But it's interesting because you have to strategize. You want to use
what do
it
they
now?
Call that? That they're, like, after you blow your load, there's a term for that. Like, the refractory period? Or
I think that refractory
period. Yeah, so there's a refractory period for your moves. That's
yeah,
cool.
So that's when you, like, run away or just back out for a little bit and then go back and fight again. So I thought it was interesting how they put it
in. Kind of like my next favorite, Secret of Mana, where you have to... That was a genius. I mean, as far as, like... More character action RPGs, I mean, the attack, you can keep attacking, but your attack string doesn't go all the way back up. You have to recharge, and you have to hold the charge to you hold the charge to increase your attacks. To like each weapon has 8 different levels. You can layer on the attacks, the levels. Same thing with the spells.
Yes.
Oh
yes.
My god, that game, the magic system, the ring menu.
Yeah.
Like, Evermore did that too, Secret of Evermore?
It did, but they use ingredients to make magic, not like Secret of Mana.
Not like that one as much, that part. But I do like the ring battle system.
Yeah, I do too.
Or the ring menus.
That's really cool.
But environmental interaction with the weapons outside of battle was pretty cool with the whip and the chakram and that game,
it was a lot, and it was great working together. We played it together.
And see, that one, that game required a ridiculous amount of grinding, but it didn't feel old. It never got old. Like, we must have killed like 10 bajillion rabbits going up around that freaking forest, or in the wolves in the frozen forest. But man, it never got old because the battle system kept it fresh.
It did. And it's so much fun playing with 2 people. Just play with 2, or you can actually play with 3 people.
You can triple team it.
You can. And it was the first, I think it was my first multiplayer game I played with. But I played with you, I played with some other friends, and it's fun. And yes, grinding with magic and your weapons to get them up, it does take a while, but
it's tough, but it's worth it.
You'll get used to it, and you'll love it. So that was a good thing.
Next Tales game, Berseria, we're going to start up pretty soon. We're going to have to report back on that battle system as well.
Yeah.
Because there's like a soul gauge or soul charge in that one too.
Really?
That we're going to be looking at. So we'll see how that works out. Let's see, what else we got? Xenoblade. I gotta talk about Xenoblade for a second here. Despite the fact, I mean, there's so, if I start talking about Xenoblade, I'm just gonna spend the whole cast like a Xenoblade cast.
Maybe we should talk about it later.
By the way, Xenoblade direct sequel, not Xenoblade Chronicles X, like the far future sequel, but direct sequel coming out for Switch apparently sometime either late 2017, 2018.
Ooh.
But that battle system, like, the draw aggro, it was very the draw aggro, the it was tough to learn, but once you learned it, it was fun. Like, there was a steep learning curve for that one.
Really?
I feel like it was hard to learn for me, and there was a lot of menus, and it was very deep as far as like getting new scrolls to unlock different moves and get a level up the moves, and then the weapon crafting and things like that. But the battles never got old. Like, there was like all these cooldown times, the cooldown times for all the moves, and the moves would like to have different effects, not only like magic buff effects, like it would stun them or knock or stun them or poison them or whatever, but it would also do like physical things to them, like it would topple them. Or so they were dazed, right? When you're dazed, mm-hmm. you can do a special move to topple. Then when they're toppled, you can do a special move that only works when they toppled.
Interesting.
They're toppled, so that way that they could you do extra damage. So you start layering on
different status
these
effects.
Physical status effects with the physical moves, and then you can also do
that's pretty cool.
make them vulnerable to certain element types, and so it was very, very intricate.
That's it, but it would take a while to learn.
That's the only downside to that one. It takes a while to learn.
But once you learn it, you're good.
God, that game, so magic. It's magical. I love that game. What about you? What's next on your list?
The next on the list will be. Let me see here.
We got plenty to talk about.
We do. I would say the Persona.
Persona. Yeah.
I played both Persona 3 and 4, and they're both really good.
Yeah.
Persona 3 is a turn-based battle system, so you choose whatever command you want to do, and then it depends on the speed. Mm-hmm. You attack first or they attack first?
Yeah.
Persona 3 had a really dark story, and I liked it. The only thing I didn't like about Persona 3 is you only control your character.
I hate. I don't like battle systems where that's the case, where you have to rely on AI for everybody else. I like to have a greater amount of control.
Mm-hmm.
Final Fantasy 13.
I know. Trust me.
I mean, I don't mind setting like a general attack pattern for everybody. I guess you kind of have to do that in Secret of Mana if you played alone, too.
But the generalizations don't work with certain situations in that game. Because there's bosses who do certain attacks that you don't know of until they do it. And then you're like, okay, AI, please heal. Do something, heal. And they don't heal. And that's the big problem. Because your character could heal, but he wouldn't be great at the healing part. You have a character in that game that could heal, that their persona is a healing persona that will heal. But they just don't heal.
They just don't do it.
Like, no, I'm going to die. Then.
Well, because, you don't have that act, like, kind of that, like, tactical control. Like, I don't mind, like setting, case in point, like, 12, Final Fantasy 12. Mm-hmm. Like the gambit system, you have the list of things, and that was kind of cool. Like that was actually a pretty powerful tool.
I saw that,
to set the if else conditions.
And then how's this
condition statement stuff like that? But then you could jump in
and
take control if you need to, which is awesome.
Yes,
but we're like 13, like you really couldn't.
No, I know. Unfortunately, Persona 3 didn't have that option,
and we just rely on paradigms and shit. And I'm just like, that's why I just kept checking out and pressing X.
I agree. And you're like, okay, I'll just change paradigm. Okay, I'm done.
What about Persona 4?
Persona 4 actually was the one that I liked the best because they actually fixed that where you can control all four of your characters. Yeah. And the game is still dark, but a little bit lighter than Part 3.
It's lighter, but creepier in a way.
It is, yeah. It takes place, I mean, you still do daily stuff, your social life still going around, and then you just fight at night. Like, Persona 3, you do some daily stuff, but mostly, like, it has to be, like, 12 o'clock midnight, and then you're going to the tower.
Well, that was kind of, like, more dark, noir, kind of gothic style.
Yes.
I mean, you freaking shoot yourself in the head to, like, at least, I mean, that was pretty dark. Whereas Persona 4 is like, oh, well, it's kind of like this weird reality TV show.
Yeah.
Kind of creepy with like clowns and stuffed animals. And it's like, it's like H.P. Lovecraft versus Five Nights at Freddy's. It's like the kind of.
I can see that.
I mean, at least the ambient, they're not the ambient, the kind of tone or.
The tone, yeah, the
visual tone difference, environment.
The atmosphere,
the
atmosphere that you're in Persona 4 is different from 3, but yet.
Yeah,
it's pretty dark.
Personal, pretty dark.
I know, but I loved it. It was a great story, and you have multiple endings in Persona 4.
Yeah,
you could have so. In the battle system, I did like it. It was easy because you could just control all four and let them know which one you want to do. You want to do this, you want to do that, and they have a system like the Xenoblade that you're talking about. If you do one status effect, one physical status effect, you could use an attack.
You compound
the same thing with this one. If you do one status effect where you knock them all down,
it stacks.
Everyone goes bit and beats them all.
Yeah. I also like the what are those? Your little summon dudes. What are they called? In Persona 4.
Different summons.
Those the little dudes you used for different spells, like that you can use to attack. They're summon dudes.
Well, they're personas.
They're personas, basically.
Yeah, they're personas, yeah.
But they call it something specific in that one?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Can I talk about... I'm gonna veer off a little bit and talk about something that doesn't use a menu as much. Botan Katos.
Oh.
Cards.
Yes. Yes.
And there's a whole subset, I think, of RPGs that have, like, card-based attack systems and stuff like that. Yeah. But my favorite is Botan Katos. Not just because of the fact the story is amazing. It has one of the best twists of all time.
It was.
It's beautiful graphically and art style. But the fact that... I mean, the Magnus cards in Botan Katos and Botan Katos Origins. I think Botan Katos Origins actually... The sequel actually kind of messed up a little bit. I didn't like it as much.
That's what I heard.
I thought Botan Katos, the original, did it a lot better, where you string together the numbers and kinds of cards for items, magic attacks. Like, everything's a card. Your attacks are a card. Your magic is a card. Your items are a card. Everything's your healing is a card. And there's combinations of numbers and symbols and things like that that will gain you bonuses. And
it was very unique.
It was a lot of fun. So every battle was just like you're on the edge of your seat. It's like, oh, what's my draw going to be? Like,
there you go. So you're always,
like,
on.
Always on edge. It's never just like checking in, press X a few times, check back out. This is like, hey, you know, oh my God, like I've got three magics in a row and then an attack and an attack and an attack. And I'm like, where's my heal? Where's my heal? And then you're like, oh God, oh God, oh God.
So you have to strategize your way to try to get the heal.
Or it's like, you got heal, 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 rotten fruit, heal, heal. Oh, my fruit. I took because the cards, like, stuff would change in the card deck when you capture things on Magnus. Like,
oh yeah,
shit would age or deplete or.
But I thought that was pretty interesting how they did that. Yeah. Like, if you don't use those cards.
If you don't. Use it, you lose it. Is that the phrase?
So you better use it.
Yeah, I mean, very innovative battle system. Like, one of the best, I think.
I thought
as
so
far
too.
As card based battle systems go.
Yeah, I thought so too. I looked at it, I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool. Like, how each battle is not the same.
Yeah,
it's always going to be different every time you go into a battle, and that's what I like, because it keeps you motivated, let's do this.
What about you? What's next on yours?
Let's talk about Lufia.
Okay, yeah, go ahead. Lufia, I haven't played Lufia in a while, so.
Well, Lufia, they have Lufia 1 and Lufia 2.
Yeah, Lufia 1, Lufia 2,
and they were both really good games. Actually, Lufia 2 was a prequel to Lufia 1, and
backwards. Yeah.
And Lufia, I like Lufia 2 better than Lufia 1, because the battle system in Lufia 1 is you have to target which guy you're going to attack, and you have to make sure that guy is dead, because if you don't, you will miss.
Yeah.
It will not automatically target another person. It will be like, okay, here's this guy, but someone else killed him, and then you have that same guy attack the same area, so you miss automatically, sucks. And Lufia 2, they improved that part where if you kill one, it'll attack the other one.
Okay.
So.
Awesome.
I liked it. It was a good game.
I liked, I feel like Lufia and then Lunar.
Yes. Oh, Lunar.
And Suikoden kind of fall into kind of the same kind of menu system. Suikoden had the system where you could add those little orbs to everything to kind of augment like their attack and add magic and stuff like that.
Yes.
Kind of like a precursor to Materia.
Yeah. I can see that.
And let's just both go on record saying right now, like, probably Final Fantasy VII's battle system is like one of the best ever made.
It revolutionized the whole RPG.
Can we agree?
Yes.
If Final Fantasy XIII's was the worst battle system of the series, then VII, I think, has got to be the best.
Well, I wouldn't say I think it was one of the best.
What do you think is best?
I don't know. I'm old school, so I would go like 9 or
9.
Or 6.
6 is pretty
six
good.
6 is pretty good.
Well, 6 had the variety.
That's true.
Every character had to kind of be unique. input series and of different types. Like, Six was really good at customizing the fighting scheme and how you interacted in battle with the character.
Yeah,
like Setzer's like slots and
slots.
Mog's dance, and then Saban had the, you had to put in the combos for Saban. Like, everybody had like a gimmick you had to do, which kept the battles interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. That's what I liked about that.
That's true. Yeah, you're right.
But Saban, the material system was pretty good.
Saban's material was cool because that kind of gave a deeper strategic.
It did.
Thing too, whereas that kind of was the way that it kept your engagement up. Whereas I think in Six, it was more of like that unique inputs and tailored to the characters that kind of kept your engagement. They both kept it pretty well.
That's true.
It's hard to say, really. It's tough.
It is. And I like the material system because they kept it balanced. So the more material you equipped on your guys, mm-hmm. the lower your stats go. So you have to kind of find a balance between the two just in case if you need more of that. That's what I liked about the material system because you could be overpowered by like the end of the game, but
yeah,
it'll take a while to be overpowered. But.
Yeah, and so the material system, it kind of balanced everything out. It was a very balanced system.
I agree.
Whereas, like, I mean, I like 9. I mean, 9 is probably like one of my top favorite of Final Fantasy. Maybe that or 10. And 10's battle system was good too. It was more strategic.
Mm-hmm.
But 10's or 9's battle system was the way they leveled up stuff was pretty cool. Like with the AP system. But as far as like the actual battle, it was pretty. It went back to formula. It went back to
it
was your ATB, fill the gauge, attack.
I know.
And then fill your overdrive gauge.
Just do it.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah.
Not outside the box there.
Yeah. I know.
9 or 10s was great.
10 was great. Yeah, with that. And I could see what we were going with 7. Because 7 was the one that changed the whole dynamics of the battle system there.
Yeah.
It did have the ATB, but.
Yeah.
Still.
What about 8?
It was a interesting one. I gotta admit, I was excited for 8. But then when I played it. It's pretty unbalanced to me.
Yeah.
It doesn't. I mean, the enemies level up when you level up, so there's no point.
So there's really no point in
leveling up because
they're leveling up, and so then that kind of takes the fun out of battling almost.
Yeah, and then they had their draw system where you draw magic from the enemies, and some people hate it, some people liked it.
It was
interesting.
It was still kind of like. I mean, like, the overdrives had their, like, kind of good inputs and stuff like that, but it was still pretty much just button mashing X.
That's true.
Despite the little hoops they made you jump around to level things up and junction your guardian forces and stuff like that, it was still pretty much just, like,
same formula
mash X.
Yeah, just press X and attack.
And sometimes mashing X is fun, Kingdom Hearts.
That's true, because you just press X and Sora does all these...
And does all those combos and swings around. It's fun. It's fun to watch. It's simple.
Yes.
Simple and clean, right?
Simple and clean. I see where you're going there.
You know where you can't mash X, even though you want to?
Mm-hmm.
Legend of Dragoon.
No.
That requires careful button inputs, which I think is awesome.
I think
but
so, too.
At the same time, it was great, but because the grinding was so much, it actually made grinding super tedious in that game.
Did.
Because you had to really take your time with each battle. So I think... That system would have been great if the leveling aspect had been nerfed a little bit or made so like every time you level, it took a little less to level. Because like
that's true.
Getting strong in that game took freaking forever, and it was really hard. Because like some of those combos are really hard to pull off.
And leveling up your dragoon, that was a pain in the butt. It was
The little spin cycle thing. You have to like hit it on the nose when it comes around.
And
so I had the little dragon gauge and the eyeball, and it would cycle around. You had to hit the gauge. And every time it came around to the top, you had to hit it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it would go faster and faster and faster. And it was a half and half. It was a coin toss whether you get it in the last one.
I know. It was tough, I admit. But the battle system, I did like it because you have to engage in it. You just can't keep pressing
it.
And you just have to press it at the right time and then you'll do the combo. But
its strength was also its weakness. I think it was that non-button mashing, but then you had to do it too much.
Yeah, I know. So, especially for like every move you have, and some of the moves are like really,
just like
really
eight,
hard
eight
to...
long, seven, eight long volcano.
Oh no! And you have to do it perfectly in order to get the points to level up that one.
Yeah,
if you don't do it, you won't get the points.
Then you're boned.
I know. You're like, oh, crap.
Then it's bonitis for you.
Yep. Yep. But I enjoyed it. It was a good game. I thought it was a little slow for me.
Yeah, it was a little slow. Story was good,
yeah.
Some of the best pre-render backgrounds on PS1.
Yeah.
One of the best character design, really good story.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little slow.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Really great art and environments. Imaginative game. We never finished on Lunar and those guys. We kind of got away from that. I feel it was like the mediumest battle system ever. I feel like it was very like Lunar was just basically your basic menu stuff.
Yeah, I think Lunar was sold on the story.
Yeah.
The story was great, but yeah, I agree with the menu system for Lunar is the same thing. Go in. Attack, fight, boss, okay, get out, that kind of thing. It's just saying the balance system. Yeah,
same thing with Suikoden. Suikoden had a good story. I mean, yes. There was the team up stuff.
Yeah,
so that was a little more involved, but still, you can attack. Still pretty much mash X on that one. It was more of a story one too.
That's true.
It was not the big selling point. 10 had both. Final Fantasy 10 had the strategic value of being able to see several moves ahead, swap in your characters in and out, level up using the sphere grid.
I was with that.
Having certain attacks be targeted towards different enemy types.
Yes.
Only to work that way. Intricate magic system.
The spear grid.
The summons. There was, of course, the first time that the summons took the place of the party to actually battle as a summon, which was a game changer, I think.
I thought so, too.
And I've much appreciated one, and I liked playing as a summon for obvious reasons. We've already crapped on 13 enough.
No, let's keep going. That's
12's Gambit, like setting the we had a lot of control over it, but it was you could almost it's almost too much. Like I mean, except for some of the bigger boss battles, you could just set that stuff and just like if you didn't have to like push the joystick around to walk around, you could just leave the game
and let them do
and
let them
do whatever you want. It was almost too much. It was almost too much automation.
That's
true. That coupled with the crap story and the weak characters. I mean,
I know.
The backgrounds and the environment and the like. I told you, anytime we get floating continents, I'm sold. I love it. But it was just like the lush environments and the good graphics could not, for the PS2 at least, could not sell the weakness of the story and most of the main characters and the battle system.
Yeah, I thought it was all overwhelming to me with the like the HP right there, but you're doing all this stuff at the same time. You're seeing all these lines going up and back.
Yeah,
and forth,
the lines were really confusing.
I don't know, like what am I doing here? what am I doing? I
lose track of things in battle too. It's especially a glaring weakness in games when you lose track of stuff in battle. Like you just like I just give up. I don't care anymore.
That's what happened with me. That's I stopped in the middle of the game. I just couldn't handle it anymore. I'm like, okay, I can't do this right now. I'm done. It took a while. I mean, I enjoyed it for a bit, but I thought it was too much for me towards the middle of the game. So I'm like, okay, I don't think I could complete this right now. So
yeah,
maybe I'll feel different later, but I haven't gone back to it ever since. So
yeah. you don't really need to. One game I really want to go back to that I only played once that you loaned to me actually.
Mm-hmm.
Rogue Galaxy.
Ooh.
I had a lot of fun with that battle system. There was a lot of good stuff about that game. There was it Jaster. Jaster was his name.
Yeah.
A lot of different weapons customization, different effects of weapons.
Yeah.
Each character had really unique weapon classes and things like that.
Yeah.
Did different effects. The actual like battle system itself, like you'd walk around, you'd run into enemies, and it was like you could find the encounters. Was it random encounter?
Well, it is random, but you hear it's a random encounter, and you hear the alert beep.
That's
beep,
right.
Beep,
the alert
before
it actually comes.
Yeah, before it comes up.
That's right.
But you do fight.
The battling was a lot of fun. I had a good time. I didn't feel like it was a grind. I mean, there was a lot of leveling to do, but I didn't really feel ever like it was just a chore.
I agree.
Especially because you could swap out, like, get a lot of different characters, and each of them were so different. So it was really nice to have that. Great game if you haven't checked out. Like, a hidden gem. Like, you're the only one ever, the other person I know, I mean, you told me about it, and I found about it, and then I've never actually talked to anybody else that really was hype on that game.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, because you go to different environments.
Yeah.
And each environment has their own unique style.
Yeah, you get different planets, stuff like that. It's great.
It's true. It's true. And so, yeah, I enjoyed it, and it was a lot of fun when I played it.
Speaking of planets, weren't you talking about Star Ocean?
Star Ocean, yeah.
See, I haven't played too much of that series, so I don't know if you're familiar with the battle system. You're going to kind of like explain which one you like the best and why.
I mean, Star Ocean is more like, how can I say this? It's, I guess you could say it's like Persona 3, but no, not Persona 3. Like, you get to move your characters and you can attack, but you can only do it with one character at a time. Everyone else is AI.
Mm.
But the good thing is you can switch to a different character. You need them to do a certain thing, like heal or use the attack magic on this boss.
Yeah.
Just switch to that character and just have them cast it. So it's pretty cool. The story was nice. I like the story. In the battle system, it could be frantic sometimes.
Yeah.
And so Star Ocean 2 was the first one I played. And since it was on the PlayStation, it was slow. It could get slow sometimes. It's fast, and sometimes it could slow, really slow. Like, there's too many things going on at once. The battle system just starts slowing down.
Okay.
This one, you could just press, like, for one of the characters, you could just press X, 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 attack, 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 attack,
yeah.
X, X. And you do it. They do have special moves, but, I mean, you could just press X and kill them all. But I like it because it's like Tails.
Yeah.
I guess I could say Tails, and you just move around like in a battle arena and then just attack.
Okay.
And that kind of thing. So I enjoyed it. And then Star Ocean 3, it was good. I liked it. I won't say any spoilers, but if you play the game, yeah, you'll be surprised with what the game is about, I would say.
Okay.
And Star Ocean 4 I played too, and that one you get to go on different planets.
Mm.
And it was good, I should say. I don't know.
But is good in the way, like the same way as Rogue Galaxy was good, or not as good as Rogue Galaxy, different planets?
It was good, in my opinion, like Rogue Galaxy, I guess, say. I should say like that. It's like each planet wasn't in depth enough. Do you get what I'm saying? Get what?
In Star Ocean 3?
Yeah, Star Ocean 3 Star Ocean 3 was a little bit more in depth than Star Ocean 4. Star Ocean 4 is you go on the planet, but there's not like a lot on that planet.
You just get a little taste.
Yeah, a little taste of, yeah, you don't get like a fully developed.
Man, Rogue Galaxy, I felt exact opposite. Like, I'm like, this is a lot of this planet.
Yeah, I could see that.
Especially that freaking jungle planet. Oh my god. Yeah, freaking forever. Or the big like Coruscant style planet, the big city planet. Remember?
Yeah. Oh my god, that was huge. That was huge.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, I totally understand what you mean. Like, where it's not fleshed out enough.
Yeah, it wasn't fleshed out. Like, you go in this one certain area and that's it. In Star Ocean 5, I was so hyped for it, and I was disappointed because I thought it would be this big like place that you're gonna go to, like big area.
Yeah,
but it ended up not being like half the planet that you get to see, and the other half you don't get to see. And I was disappointed.
That's like, you know what? Don't you hate it when you think things are gonna, you know, you see some get things, something get fleshed out, and then it's only about half as big as you thought it was.
Yes,
I want to see some flesh, and it's like, nope, that's not enough. Nearly enough.
I was like, really? This is it? I thought there would be more.
Blue-balled.
And then I was disappointed. But the battle system, I like the battle system in it because you have seven characters all fighting at once.
Oh, cool.
All fighting, like, they're all doing their thing. Like,
at one time?
Yeah, all one time. And it was pretty cool, but it could be hectic sometimes.
See, now that's something I would like to see more of. Like, we were talking about, like, team-ups of characters in the games is, like, a lot of times it's just maybe, like, one, two, or but the three tops.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see just everybody just go all in. Like, all in it to win it. Kind of like, remember, like, in, like, well, I mean, it wasn't actually even a game. Like, Final Fantasy, I Have a Children, remember the movie where they all kind of, they're fighting Bahamut Sin?
Mm-hmm.
And they're all just jumping in and attacking and doing their thing. To like,
I agree.
I would like to see, at least maybe on, like, bosses, like, have that be an option. Like, like special boss overdrives for characters where they all team up to do something. Like say you're fighting the boss and have it be a game where, like 10, where you can swap all your characters in.
Yeah.
And so that would encourage, like, keeping the refresh rate on the characters is cool. Like, have the bosses have different like parts or aspects to them that require different character specialties to attack or damage, right?
That's true.
And then keep swapping them in and have it have to be tactful about it, and then have them build some sort of gauge during the boss battles, and then once all their gauges reach a certain threshold, then you time it right, attack. And then you hit it, and then have them all have like special inputs for like unique to them during the overdrive, and see if you can pull off the overdrive. Wouldn't that be fucking awesome?
That would be cool because it'll add more strategy to it. Yeah, when to use it.
That'd be super fun. I would like to see more. Definitely more numbers of characters in on attacks at once.
That's true, because I know most people are like, oh, I like this character. Mm-hmm. The other ones, I don't care. So they'll just put those characters that they like in the game and then leave the rest out. And
yep.
Like they don't matter because you're not going to use them and you don't need to use them. That's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I like 7. Number 7, the final boss. Not the final boss, the... it was Sephiroth...
Bizarro...
Is it Bizarro?
No.
There's so many names.
I can't remember all the... There's Bizarro, there's...
All right. Well, you know the one before you fight Seth, before you fight the final boss?
The Winged Angel.
Yeah. You know how you have 3 on one side and 3 on the other side? And 3.
Yes,
on...
I remember that.
Yeah, I remember that one where you have to... You're going to change characters, but you're all going to beat him down. And I like that because you have to use all the characters other than...
Games put you in a situation like that where... The battles are unique. It's not just like, oh, we're going to boss battle again, and we just can do the same thing we did to mow down the last guy with the same 3 characters because we OP'd them. Like, it's like you're forced into situations like, hey, well.
You have to bring this character in, and you have to use this character. Or
6 did that too.
Yes. Yeah, I was actually thinking the 6.
6 was good at forcing a refresh rate on character use.
Well, because like during the story, there were a couple of times where you have to split them up into different groups.
Yeah.
Remember, like the first battle with Kefka in the snowfield where you had to split.
Yeah.
So you had all of them have to be really level pretty well because you have to survive that. And then the Phoenix Cave where you had to split into 2 groups where...
Yeah, where it's like every once in a while, it's like, okay, I really have to have all my dudes on the level so that I can go forward.
You go forward, yeah. And like the final area in 6 where you had to have 3 groups,
yeah,
and that was cool because you're like, okay, one has to help the other, and then do this, do that, and then I like how they're like, not everyone's gonna fight Kefka, but. Like when your characters died, you could
bring at least they helped. Anyway.
Yes,
at least you don't forget about them.
That's true. That was true. That's why I love 6 so much because all the characters had their own story.
Yeah,
I mean, you just fall in love, unlike some other Final Fantasy.
Yeah, you know what characters I like that I fell in love with that you had that all of them were. I mean, they all had their strengths, but they were and you had to use them all every now and again.
Mm-hmm.
Mario RPG, Super Mario RPG.
Yeah, oh my God, that was so much fun.
Paper Mario.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very good use of RPG elements in those. Unique, especially in Super Mario RPG, like you had Mallo and Geno, and all having different inputs.
Yes.
Unique character skills, unique to different enemy types, things like that. Like it was really good. Really good use of that. Ahead of its time.
It was
ahead of its time. Definitely ahead of its time.
Definitely because each character had their unique abilities, and each ability you could do more damage if you like press the button at the right time.
Yeah,
or you do a different command at the right time or something like that.
Yep.
And each boss had like a different feel to it, so you have to do a different strategy for each boss.
Yeah. That's where a lot of RPGs run into problems now, is that they put so much effort into making it look grandiose and big and imposing, and the character design may be awesome, but then they forget. It's like, well, how do we make this battle like functionally different for me to fight it than the last one?
There you go.
It's like going into a museum and seeing like, oh, all these nice rectangular paintings, they're all beautiful, and I'm looking at all of them, but like they're all rectangular paintings. Like, how do I engage them differently? Like,
that's true.
I want to engage with the battle differently. Like, let's do platforms. Let's switch up the characters. Let's put certain conditions. Let's impose conditions on bad boss battles.
I agree with that, and that's why I liked 4, Final Fantasy 4.
Yeah,
because the story moves on, but you have different characters at each part of the story, so you're actually forced to use those characters to go on with the story,
or like, bosses that impose certain conditions, like the Doom Wall.
Oh yeah,
which has been a reused thing over and over and over again in many instances. But you know, it had to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, that's true. And that Dimwa, yeah, you have to kill that thing fast. Kill it fast. That's faster.
Yeah,
before it kills you.
Boss rush.
But that's why I like 4, because you had to use all the characters, even the Edward. No one likes to use Edward, but you had to use him in one part.
Yeah.
So, you know.
You know what game we haven't really thought of as an RPG, but has a battle system that is main tenets stay the same, but changed a little bits of time over time, is Pokemon.
Pokemon, really? Yeah.
It's menu based.
Yes.
Pretty basic, but then now they've got like the different species and the different evolutions, mm-hmm. and they have the team up battles and things like that. And there's so many Pokemons, I'm having a hard time keeping up. I haven't played the latest one too much.
Well, anyway, it started from beginning like 151 Pokemon to like 700 Pokemon.
But and as far as like keeping an old dog, you know, with new, keeping an old dog up to date with new tricks, I mean, they've done a pretty good job.
That's true. I mean, they have made a lot of Pokemon games, and each one has been successful.
Yeah, I mean, so. But the formula works. The formula works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
That's true.
I think Pokemon is like the ultimate example of that phrase in gaming.
Yeah, everybody likes cute little furry things.
Speaking of cute little furry things that may actually be evil, mm-hmm. Undertale and Earthbound. I want to talk about those, because those were kind of offbeat RPGs.
Yes.
Very different levels of engagement with mm-hmm. the battles. Undertale system was awesome. I mean, that's amazing. You can go through that entire game and not fight.
That's what I heard, yeah.
The way you battle with your little soul heart in the little square. It's amazing. Like, that was a really an innovative way to take a menu system and then layer new crazy stuff on top of it and make it work.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. I know that it, like, certain enemies do certain things, and you have to do something specific for that enemy in order to...
Mm.
I wouldn't say kill it, but what do you do? Is it like capture it or make it happy? I don't know.
You change. You talk to it. There's the talk.
You try to comfort it.
Comfort it. Yeah,
like that.
You can do the whole game without actually fighting the complete, what's the A word? I'm having a brain fart with that A word.
Synonyms? What synonyms were you use?
If you are completely... Oh, anyway, it's the good run, the max good run.
Oh, okay. The max good run.
Where you don't lift a finger, you don't ever fight at all.
Oh,
you just are completely nice.
What is that word? Is it... It could be altruistic.
Altruism.
Oh, okay.
You get different endings based on that, too.
Really? Yeah, I heard that you could get a bad ending if you kill, like...
If you kill everybody,
kill everybody or something, or do something horrible.
Yeah. So. And then there's Earthbound, which had a pretty basic menu, but, like, the mm-hmm. things that filled up the menu, what you selected in the menu was so interesting and offbeat from what had come before. That it was like, wow, this is actually interesting. Like, actually go in the menu, it's like, well, I'm picking, like... bubblegum, baseball bat, like where's my plus one, you know, broadsword, where's my mm-hmm. you know mace, where's my shield, crystal shield, like
it's not a typical,
it was like
RPG.
It was what informed the menus in that one was, I think, was the most interesting.
That's what I thought too. I think they had like psych bomb or something like that. It was
like the menus
cool.
themselves may be boring, but what populated them was not.
That was
what set that one off for me.
Yes. It's, you think it's innocent, but it's not.
It's not.
It's dark.
It's dark. It's that
but
darkness.
They're cute.
But they're cute. Dark and cute. Well, I think we got a pretty wide, good coverage of range today on lots of different games and battle systems.
Yep.
We crapped on some. 5x13.
Probably 13.
We, you know, picked the pros and cons of the ones we'd like and picked our stellar standout favorites. I was not going to mention this during the whole cast, but I'm just going to say Legend of Zelda Bastum, it's pretty much stayed the same the whole time.
Wait, has it really?
I think, except for Zelda 2.
Oh, Zelda 2 was, well, that's like a different game, right?
Yeah.
Right,
but so. I mean, you basically just have your sword and your shield and you swing and you have items and you use those, and it's, you have different, the way you kill enemies has gotten a little more complex, but it's pretty much stayed the same. But it works.
It does work.
Yeah.
I could see that.
I'm looking forward to Breath of the Wild. Oh my god, it's so close. It's so close. Almost there.
Almost there. And it's going to be an open world, so it'd be more interesting how...
So we'll definitely have to talk about that when that one comes out. But let's cap it there. If you have any opinions on your favorite battle systems, one you love, one you hate, ones you think we left out. I know we didn't get to talk about all like a lot of the character action, the more 3D overhead, the Breath of Fire.
Yeah.
Or not the Breath of Fire. The Dragon Age Origins, the Dark Souls, the Elder Scrolls, Diablo, things like that, Dungeon Siege maybe, or more of like the more FPS types like Mass Effect, story-driven ones like Mass Effect, things like that, or Fallout. We can cover those another time. I think we're talking about more of like what originated from the traditional RPG and the menu base, I think, what evolved off the menu base as opposed to like a character action. So we can cover that in a different cast.
Yes, but, I agree.
Hit us up on facebook.com/nerdfunnel, youtube.com/nerdfunnel, or on the site at nerdfunnel.com or at nerdfunnel, and let us know what your opinions are on the best battle and combat systems in RPGs. Until next time, please open your menu and select Nerd Funnel.